We said a prayer that God would watch over us. That's what Sherry Conley said. She's from Oklahoma. She was being interviewed by the Oklahoma Daily or the Daily Oklahoman after she and her husband and their two sons had huddled in their hallway linen closet during a tornado. And when the tornado passed and they finally emerged from the closet, what they found was that everything in their home had been destroyed except for the linen closet. Maybe not quite as dramatic as that, but you know, we all need a refuge sometime, don't we? I remember hearing years ago that Chattanooga, because of the geography of Chattanooga or the topography of Chattanooga, was tornado proof. How many of you believe that now? No, enough of you have had enough experiences in your own homes. But it does remind us that we all need a refuge. It's something that brings us all together. We all have in common. Every one of us need a refuge. We're in a series entitled Claiming God's Victory in the Book of Joshua. And today I'm going to have you turn in your Bible to the 20th chapter of that book, where we're going to learn about some special places of refuge. Joshua chapter 20. In the book of Joshua, chapters 13 through 21, tell about how the Lord gave portions of the land that he had promised to each of the tribes. Each tribe had a portion that was theirs. They had already gained control of the land, but there were still parts of it that needed to be conquered by each tribe. And so God gave these portions to each tribe to conquer, in which to live, in which to thrive, in which to grow their families, in which to worship their God. And so we read about all of these portions in those chapters. But in giving the land portions, there were six very special places. These were so special that they had a very special name and a very special purpose. They were called cities of refuge. And we read about them in Joshua chapter 20, where you have turned. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, the entirety of the chapter. Would you follow along as I read aloud? The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause into the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into that city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem in Mount Ephraim and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah, and on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And there were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, and whosoever killeth any person or at unawares might flee thither or there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, these cities tell us about God's plan for refuge and how God would provide this plan. And then they also picture for us A place of refuge. Oh, but the place is not really the refuge. These picture for us a person of refuge. So today, I'm going to preach on this subject. We all need a refuge. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us. And Lord, that really is what we're praying. Ultimately, what we're asking is that you would speak to us. And we are asking for a divine interaction whereby the word is preached, and I want to be honest and accurate in expressing the truth of your word. But what we need so desperately is that your spirit would take the preaching of the word and your spirit would so move in us that you open our understanding and we meet with you. A sermon is just a sermon unless we meet with you. And so we ask, O Holy Spirit, and yield to you for your enabling to meet with us and speak to us by the Holy Spirit as the Bible is proclaimed. And so we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's begin talking about God's plan for a refuge, these cities of refuge. Now, the Levites of all the tribes had no portion. In fact, you'll read in the scriptures where we are told that the Lord was their portion. These Levites were the priestly tribe. They had the responsibility of carrying out the sacrifices and performing all the rituals and helping the people that the people could meet with God. And they would represent the people before God and God before the people. So they had a wonderful role, but they were not given a specific portion of land that was theirs. Instead, God gave them 48 cities taken from the other tribes that were shared with them as their portion. But out of these 48 cities, six of these 48 cities were very special cities. They are called cities of refuge. Now, these cities were planned by God as a place of refuge. So we read in our Bible these words, chapter 20 and verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, appoint out for you the cities of refuge, wherever I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. And then in verse 7 and verse 8, these cities are specifically named for us, and we're told where they are. God had already, before the people ever reached the land, had already prepared these places and said, when you get there, here are the places you're going to go, and there are cities that I'm setting aside because I have planned for a place of refuge. And these are not just planned as a place of refuge. These are planned for the purpose of refuge. So you read in your Bible, verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither or there and shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Now, wait a minute. What is happening here? Well, let's say that somebody kills someone accidentally. What do we call that when one individual kills another, but it's a complete accident? What do we call it today in our legal system? What do you call it? Manslaughter. What happens when accidents happen and it costs someone their life? This is not intentional murder. No, not at all. This scripture makes it clear. This is someone that just accidentally kills somebody. And in their culture, in their time, there was a relative that would take upon himself the responsibility of being the avenger. You cannot kill my relative and get away with it. And they would take, I guess you'd call it vigilante justice. And so they would feel they had every right to go after that individual, not knowing the story, just knowing that you killed my relative. And so God provides these cities. We read further about them. Keep reading in verse 4. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities, those cities that shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city, and they shall take him into the city and give them a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, unknowingly, and hated him not before time. And he that shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and unto the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Why was this given? These were given so that justice can be meted out. You'll notice this is a place of divine protection. Here's an individual that they weren't planning on it. Just something happened and he killed somebody. What do I do? So God provides a place where there can be divine protection. But did you notice this as well? Beside divine protection, this was a place that God made for due process. You come to the city and you make the case to the leaders. Hey, I was out there. I was in the woods and I was cutting down trees with my axe. And when I swung back to try to cut a tree down, the axe handle flew off and it hit my buddy in the head and I killed him. Oh. Okay, come on in. When he comes in, did you see what happens? He makes his case to the elders of the city. A court proceeding goes on. And if they find that the evidence indicates that this was an accident, then in that city he finds refuge until the time that the high priest would die. And when the high priest would die, the man could be released to go back home. If the man was found to be guilty of murder, then under the prescription of the law, what is the penalty under God's law for murder? You tell me. Yeah, capital punishment. Then capital punishment would be carried out and the man would be killed according to the law. Do you see what God was doing? God was providing a place of due process so that people are treated fairly under the law. And when God gave his people this land, he gave his people his law, or in his law, he gave his people a place that he had planned as a place of refuge. And he had planned for the purpose of refuge. Now, why would God do this? God did this because it tells us something about who God is. Because it tells us that God is a person of refuge. You see, these cities revealed God's compassion and God's justice. It tells us about God. And even when under the law, the Lord was to be the refuge for people in their lives. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 94, 22, but the Lord is my defense and my God is my rock, or the rock of my righteousness. Now, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Keep your place in Joshua. We'll come back to Joshua 20. But go with me in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. And listen to what God tells us. Hebrews chapter 6, you want to look at verse 18, then verse 19. We are told that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now hold on a minute. What are the two immutable things? The unchanging things. One of them is God's nature. It's impossible for him to lie. So God's nature is unchanging. But then the other, you read in verse 17, is God's law. So God's law is unchanging. And then we are told this, keep reading. By these two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is our place of refuge. And my friend, today there may not be a city of refuge available to you, but there is a place of refuge, for this refuge is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So these cities not only reveal God's plan for refuge, but these cities reveal God's picture of refuge. Well, you know that old saying, I'll start it and you finish it out with me. Here we go. A picture's worth. Yeah, absolutely. And so God, in this portion of Scripture, shows us, tells us about these cities. But really, in giving a description of the cities, he is giving us a picture of refuge found in Jesus Christ. In this picture, there is first a great comparison. You see, the way of refuge is available to all. Go back with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua chapter 20 again, and you want to find verse 9. We're told in verse 9, Joshua chapter 20, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Now hold on, who is this for? Oh, these cities were for all the Jewish people. But beyond that, God was not only concerned for the Jewish people. What about Gentile people that lived in their land and shared their land? What about them? And God had the equal concern for them, that they would find a place of refuge. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. The refuge is available to you. You see, God is a whosoever God. Listen to what Jesus said. John 11, verse 25, and then verse 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall not die. And then Jesus asks a very personal question that he's still asking today. And he asks the people that he was speaking to on that day, believest thou this? What about you? And you know, he's still asking that today. Have you made a personal faith decision to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your refuge? Believest thou this? You say, but I grew up in church. Hey, I'm glad you grew up in church, but have you made a personal faith commitment to Jesus Christ? Well, I used to go to church back when. Well, I'm glad for that, but have you made a personal faith decision for Jesus? Well, I'm not bragging or anything, but I'm a pretty nice person. I'm glad you're a nice person. Good for you. Wonderful. But have you made a personal faith decision in Jesus Christ? Believest thou this? Oh, this refuge is available to all. This refuge is accessible to all. I was thinking about the book of Joshua, and the book of Joshua is a book that really needs to be read with a map in hand. In fact, I've brought a map for you to see. And because of the size of the map, you won't be able to catch all of the detail of it, but you'll notice there that there's a description of all the tribal allotments, and then you'll see the cities that are marked out. These cities, as you look at them, you'll notice that there are three on the west side of the Jordan River, there are three on the east side of the Jordan River. As you look at them, you'll notice that you'll find cities that are in the north. Cities are in the central part of the nation, and there are cities in the southern part of the nation. There are cities in the mountains, there are cities in the plains. In fact, what you would find is that if you lived anywhere in the promised land where the tribal allotments were, and something happened and you accidentally killed somebody, you would never be one day's journey away from a city of refuge. So that they were accessible to all. You'll notice as well the placement of the cities, but I want you to notice the position of these cities. Some of them are up in the mountains. Some of them are in the plains. But all of them, God provided a path to these cities. I want you to go with me from your Bible. Keep your place in Deuteronomy 9 or in Joshua 20. We'll come back to it, but go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Now, we'll start in verse 1, and I want to read through verse 3, and I'll do some other reading, but let's start with verse 1. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt prepare separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit it into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. So there's three parts, the north, central, and south. And then God tells us something else. Keep reading, if you will. Let's read, start in verse 8. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more, for beside these three, that the innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon them. Why is it that God provided three, and then when you expand the land, you need three more? Why is that? Because God was so concerned that innocent people do not bear punishment they do not deserve. But I want you to notice again something that we read in verse 3 that helps us understand this in a greater way in the compassion of God. Thou shalt, verse 3, prepare thee a way. Can I put it this way? Build a road. And you need to make sure you build this road. Because wherever somebody is, they need to have free access to the refuge. The Jewish tradition is that there was one time a year when teams would be assigned the responsibility of clearing this road. Pull out boulders that might have been in the way, trees that might have fallen across it, brush that's grown up in those places, so that the way was cleared at a place of refuge. Another tradition is that there would be signs at all the crossroads as a person is going toward this city, and the sign would be written with letters that were very clear to be read. They would say, "Refuge!" And the way was clearly marked so that an individual who was seeking refuge could find refuge. See, it is accessible to all. And I'll tell you something else. This place of refuge was the answer for all. The only hope for an individual who had a terrible thing happen. He committed a manslaughter. He didn't intend to. It wasn't his desire. He didn't plan on it. He had no ill will in his heart toward the individual. It's just an accident happened. But the only hope for him from the avenger of blood was the city of refuge. And these places became places of hope. Warren Wiersbe, in his work on the cities of refuge, describes the meaning of each of the Hebrew terms and the significance of what a person experiences through the Lord Jesus Christ as a refuge. The first place, Kadesh, the Hebrew word means holy place or righteousness. And you know, when an individual comes to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ gives him his righteousness. So that my sin, when I came to Christ, I gave my sin to Jesus and said, "Here, take it, you've paid for it." And Jesus, who died and rose for me, gave me his righteousness. And when God looks at me, he looks at me not in my sin, but he sees me in the righteousness of Christ, justified in Christ. The next place is Shechem, and Shechem means shoulder or back, and like a shepherd that takes the lamb that has wandered, the lamb that is broken, he takes that lamb and bears him on his shoulder and on his back. So Jesus is the great shepherd, and he takes us who are broken and wandering, and he bears us on his shoulder. The next place is called Hebron, and it means fellowship. And when you come to Jesus Christ, a person now experiences fellowship, communion, in union with the eternal God through Jesus Christ. The 15th chapter of John describes it like vines and a branch, and this fellowship that is shared in the life of the Lord is shared with us, and we experience his fellowship. The next place is Bezer. It means fortress or strong. And a person in Christ finds that he gives strength that I do not have and you do not have. But his strength indeed is made perfect even in weakness. Then there's Ramoth, and Ramoth means heights. And in Christ we dwell spiritually in the heavenly places. We have heavenly riches that are ours to enjoy now. And when we get there, we will enjoy them in all of their fullness. And then the final place is Golan. Now, linguists don't all agree on the meaning of Golan. Gesenius, in his lexicon, says it means exile. And while I live here and you live here in this world, and this is our home in one sense, we really don't belong here. Because our citizenship is in heaven. We have an eternal home. A city whose builder and maker is God. And we look to that city. We live this life here. But while we're here, we're really not at home here. Our true home is heaven. We are truly strangers and pilgrims until we are with the Lord and we experience the fullness of the heavenly blessings that he has for us. All of this happens when a person is in Christ. Oh, this city of refuge is a great comparison. But then there's something else, though, that is important. I think it's important for us to understand that the city of refuge in it is a great contrast. You see, when a person would come to a city of refuge, they were going to await for a trial to determine whether they were guilty or innocent of this act. But all of us who come to Christ, we don't have to wait for a trial to find out if we're guilty or innocent. It's already been settled. We are guilty because of our sin. A man named John Mutchler told a story about he was preparing academically for ministry in seminary. And one of the assignments that he was given in seminary was to go to a service of a different faith and experience a service in a different faith. And so he went to a service of a different faith. And after the service was done, he got in his car. He's ready to get home. And he's getting home, driving home, but he's driving a little too fast. How many of you drive a little too fast? How many of you have someone in your house that drives way too fast? Oh, yeah. Yes, you know who they are. Well, he was driving 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, and then you know what happened, right? You know that sickening feeling when you look in your rearview mirror and you see the blue lights and you hope it's for somebody else, but you know it's you? You know that sickening feeling? Okay, enough of you seem to know that feeling. So he pulls over. And he explains to the officer, and, well, Mr. Mutcher, I'm going to have to write you a ticket, 15 miles over. Gives him a ticket. Well, he had all the reasons in his mind why that wasn't fair. And so he decided that rather than just pay the ticket and go on, he was going to go to court and fight that ticket. And so the day finally comes. He goes to court. Now, he was doing this, it's the same thing you would do. We all did. He had in his mind everything he was going to say. He practiced it again and again and again in his mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what that is? He has it. He's rehearsing it in his mind, what he's going to say. The day finally comes. His name is called. He stands before the judge. And the judge expresses and explains the charge that is made against him and what happens. While he was sitting there, standing there, he's getting ready to say everything he's prepared to say. He's got this down. He's going to explain to the judge why he doesn't need to have this ticket. But he realized when he stands before the judge, with all of my rationalization and all of my argumentation and my justification, I am guilty. And rather than argue and try to get his way out, he acknowledged, "Your Honor, I'm guilty. I must pay the fine." You see, the difference between a person fleeing to a place of refuge is that that person was innocent, but for us who need a refuge, every one of us is guilty. You know, when you stop explaining away yourself and justifying yourself, and you become so honest with yourself and honest with God to say, "God, I am guilty," then you're in a place where you can know the refuge that has come. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden and come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." Refuge. Maybe you just don't see yourself as that bad off, that guilty. No wonder you don't need a refuge. But listen, you're not as bad as you could be. I'm glad for that. We're all glad for that. But you're as bad as you are. And you need a refuge, and Jesus is calling out to you. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give rest unto your soul." Rest. Without Christ, burdened down by the weight of sin, oh, Jesus is a place of refuge for you. He's a place of refuge. Well, there's a great comparison that these cities picture for us. There's a great contrast these cities picture for us. But each of these cities picture for us a great choice. I was just in the woods, and I was swinging my axe, cutting down wood. And when I swung back, the axe head flew off and killed my friend. It was a mistake. But for you to have refuge, you would have to leave where you were, leave away your behind your family, your farm, your trade, all that your life was. And you'd have to flee to a place of refuge to receive the refuge that God provided. And I'm going to tell you that every person had a choice whenever they made a decision or whenever something terrible happened. Now, you could stay where you were, but you always had to look over your shoulder because the avenger of blood might be around every corner. Maybe today, it may be tomorrow, it may be a month from now, it may be a year from now, but you always had to look back about where's the avenger of blood. What a terrible way to live. So for you to know refuge, you had to leave where you were and flee to that city in faith. I'm going to tell you that that refuge is available for you, but friend, you're going to have to be willing to leave away your self-righteousness, all your hurts, and all your explanations and argument, and you're going to have to be willing to turn from all that you're holding on to and willing to come to Jesus Christ by faith. That's a choice that everybody can make. Now, you can choose to receive Christ and whole. You can choose to turn from your way and receive Christ by faith. Or you can choose to go on as you are. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. So Harrison sang in the group today. Harrison and I were visiting partners and doing some training on witnessing. And so we had two different people that we'd spoken to that. Now, we had a few people, but two people we had spoken to. Each of them had a choice. One young man. And didn't fully understand. He was thinking about this, but he wasn't ready to receive Christ. But he had a choice. Still has that choice. Not far from there, there's a very strange event that took place, and we happened to be there when it all took place, and things sort of broke up a little bit, and we were leaving to go on our way out, and we stopped by a man who was somehow tied into this event that took place, and we said, "Hey, listen, I'm Brent. This is Harrison. We're from Stanley Heights Baptist Church, and we want to just and we had our invitations to give." "Ah, go on. I don't want to talk." "Okay. A choice. But then there's something else. In this city of refuge, there is great comfort. To know refuge. There's a slayer of blood out there, but I'm safe in a city of refuge. There's fear out there, uncertainty, but I'm safe in a city of refuge. My friend, when you come to Christ, there is such security that I am His and He is mine. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul when You're in the refuge." Wow. What wonderful comfort. Comfort in death. When you come to the end and a person goes from this life to the next, my friend, what value? How do you even describe the value of safety and security and an eternal refuge through Jesus Christ from the eternal wrath of God in the fearsome place of hell? The eternal joy and fellowship with God in heaven, all provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether in death or in life, we all need a refuge. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of the Psalms. And one particular psalm, Psalm 62, you want to find verse 5 and we'll read through verse 8. Now, when you read this, I hope it's very familiar to you. And if it's not familiar to you, I'll tell you why I hope it is. I hope it is familiar because we have been learning two of these verses every week this summer, this month. And we even read these aloud together at the beginning of the service. So if it's not familiar to you, what can I say? But listen to what God says. Psalm 62, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. There is refuge, and my refuge is in God. Trust Him at all times, ye people. Pour your heart out before Him. God is a refuge for us." And then he says, Selah. And when you read Selah, stop and say, what do you think about that? So I ask you, God is a refuge. What do you think about that? And I'm going to tell you, He is a refuge. He is sufficient to save. It doesn't matter who you are. Whatever your story, He is sufficient and the only one who can save you from the wrath to come. And my friend, what you will find is not only is He sufficient to save, you will find that when you seek Him, having known Him as your Savior, you will find that that he is sufficient to satisfy. And one of the challenges you might find in your life is that you're looking for other people, and you're looking for things, and you're looking for accomplishment, and you're looking for all kinds of things in your life to satisfy, and it always comes up empty because the refuge is found in a relationship with a person that fills the soul. He is sufficient. Would you stand with me, please?